Well, thanks for letting me be a part of this tonight. It's always a joy to be able to share where I've been. That's for sure. So I'm going to start off this evening first just asking God to lead and guide me as I speak and to remember the things that would be beneficial for everybody tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're in our presence, Father, and that the journeys that we walk on, Lord God, are for the benefit of all others plus ourselves. And so, Father, we thank you for that relationship with you that helps us to be able to make changes in our lives that literally save us and bring us back into relationship with you. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have a kind of a two-part story here. I got saved in 1979, and that's when the first time that I got sober. I was brought up in a home that it was known that you got high and drunk. When you went with your family, you got high and drunk, and that's just the way it was. And it was very confusing for me as a child because my dad would say things to me like, "What's wrong with you?" I'd think, wait, Dad, I'm not 21. I don't think I'm supposed to be drinking, you know. And so I grew up with that kind of information in my mind telling me that this is the way that we were supposed to live. And so it was very hard for me to understand what was real and what wasn't real because I trusted my parents in a sense. but then as I began to get older, I noticed some things about my dad and my brothers and sisters drinking and all of that stuff that happened in our family times. And it got very terrible, very violent. It wasn't a good thing. And so I got in my mind that when you got involved with alcohol or drugs, that you were a mean person. I mean, you're just, you know, you see somebody laying in the gutter, you have that stigma of what somebody looks like, which is not true as we know. And so I thought that that's what an alcoholic or an addict looked like. So as I progressed through my years of life and my teenagehood, it became evident to me that my beginning of my use, which was started at about 8 years old, it was not normal. And I can remember the first time, and I was doing my, I was going to catechism I was involved with the Catholic Church at that time. And I was, we were doing Lent. And so it was like, hey, you know, what should I give up? And I'm going to give up, you know, drinking and using. You know, and I thought that that was a really great thing to do, you know, which it was. I mean, anytime we stop using or drinking, it's a great thing. and so I did. I did that for 30 days. And my friends, I had older friends, they were like, wow, that's really cool. I can't believe you did that. And I'm like, it's not like I have a problem, you know. And so the interesting thing about addiction that I know today is that it always tells us lies of how it used to be. Like, it's going to be different this time. My behavior will be different this time. And, of course, today I know that that's a lie. But back then I didn't. So that victory of 30 days literally caused my mind to believe that I had no problem at all because I could stop. And so that continued for most of my life and until I was 19 years old. When I was 19 years old, I started to have some kind of encounters with spiritual things. I'd always go to church, but I usually was under the influence. Just being truthfully honest here. And to me, it was like, what is really going on here? But when I was 19, things started to really change. And, And so some things had transpired in my life. I had just went in turning 20, and a situation happened in our life. At this point, I was with somebody, and we were investing our money into silver, which was because we didn't have a job. We were, of course, dealing. And so we were investing our money into things where you couldn't really see it and everything. And then one day, because we were rich one day, and the next day I looked at the TV, and all of a sudden the futures market was gone. It was like, wow, what happened? And that fast, we were poor. There had been a scam, and we had invested in futures, and that scam, anybody who didn't have the gold and silver in their hands, they were just out. And so we were out. We were out of everything. And at that very moment, I can still remember and feeling it, sitting there looking at the, because that was my thing. Every morning I'd have to look at the TV to see how much money, you know, I would make. And when that disappeared from the screen, I was like, I was completely like empty, completely empty. And my first thought was, which is, this is pretty amazing because of the faithfulness of God. My first thought was, I got to go to church. And so I asked my sister, I said, hey, can you drive me to church, to that Calvary thing down there? I'd like to go there. And I can still sit, I can still remember sitting there. It was rainy, and I thought, I bet you this is what like Noah's Ark was like, because they had the little windows up there, and it was just tch, tch. Anyway, what happened that day or that night, and at this point, in because of my lifestyle and living with my dad was a he was a Satanist, so I grew up with that also, those beliefs. And so my thoughts at that very moment was, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And the next thing that I know, and this is exactly how it happened, is that I was sitting in front of the whole congregation. I wasn't under the influence, okay? Just want to make this clear. And I was face down on the ground before the preacher. And I looked up, and I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? How did I get here? I think God had to just put me up there. And at that moment, the pastor said, I believe that God is moving, and anybody who wants to receive Jesus Christ in their life, come up now. And the next thing I know, I was surrounded by people. There was a bunch of us that wanted God in our lives. And so as I got up off the ground, of course, you know, they funnel everybody in to give them the information. And as soon as I got up off the ground, I was like, what did I do? How did I get up here? What happened? I mean, I was just like, oh, wow, this is crazy. But I couldn't get out. They kind of just put us right into, you know, we were between ropes. And we went into the room. And as we went into the room, there was a guy. And overall, because there was quite a few people. And there was a tall guy, and he was just above everybody else, and his eyes looked over to me, and he went, and I was like, I ain't going to this guy. Who does he think he is? I was back. Rhonda was back 100%. And so he came over to me, and he said, God told me to tell you something. And I said, really? Well, if God is really, really that big, why didn't he just tell me? I mean, this is how I was. And he said, oh, I don't know, but this is what he told me. And he gave me this scripture. It's Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Well, when he said that to me, I don't know what happened, but instantly I was changed. Completely changed. And another reason why I had gone there is because I had a physical problem, And I was going to a doctor, and they were going to put me into the hospital because they didn't know what was wrong with me. And so at that moment, I was healed also from that infirmity. And then he began to share the Lord with me, and I accepted Jesus Christ into my life, and I quit using that moment. I picked up the Bible that he gave me, and I was kind of like, wow, this is all really crazy. What's going on here? But I had this huge desire to want to go tell everybody about Jesus. And so as I was standing there and he was talking to me, I heard this. And I asked the guy, I said, does this make sense to you? And I didn't know it was a scripture, but this is what was spoken to my heart. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor your body as to what you shall put on. It is not life more, is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they, wait a second, right here, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And it happened. And I left there immediately, and I went in. I lived in Huntington Beach at the time, and I went down, and I began to share the gospel. And I stayed sober for 21 years. 21 years, and it was amazing. At 21 years, something happened in my life, and I just want to say that in our addictions, there is one force that is as patient as God, and that's Satan. And he will wait around to see who he can devour. Now, if we stay under that shadow, we have a chance, especially with our addictions. But for that moment, I stepped out of that shadow. And one thing led to another. The next thing I know, there I was again. Except this time it was different. I thought back to my early days of 30 days sober, and it didn't make sense to me that I was looking back that far, how long I could stop. I was like, wow, that's kind of weird that I'm thinking about that. I don't have a problem. But yet things started happening in my life. Like, people didn't like me. You know, like my mom would be like, oh, you really don't have to come over. You know, friends were like, not so much, you can just take it easy, you know. And this was after a couple years. Because, you know, addiction doesn't just smack you in the face right away because it wants to be able to get into your life. It needs to bring that shame and that degradation that it wraps around our lives. And so so that process right there, I didn't realize at that time, and still under the thought life of that, wait, this is what an alcoholic or an addict looks like. They're mean and terrible. And I had become that person. The one thing that I hated most about my place in addiction was that I lost me. And I know today, you know, that God has made me for who I am and what I'm supposed to be. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe I'm doing his will today. But that, those years that I was out of that, it was so confusing because I'm sure that we can, some of us can agree here. One minute you're sitting there saying, I hate my life, I hate my life, I hate my life. And then the next minute you're doing the very thing that you hate your life for. And you're like, whoa, 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 back and forth and wondering, how do you stop this thing, you know? And so it was really, really confusing. And I was a little bit mad at God by this time, before I was mad at God. And I believe that that's what caused me to step out into my addiction again. But I was trying to figure out, how do you get sober? How do you get sober? And I used to see a therapist. She'd see me every morning. And she'd go, what do you think, Ron? Are you going to get sober? And I'd go, you know, I've been thinking about that. And I don't know how to do that, you know, because what do I do? You know, I couldn't understand what I was supposed to do. And she'd go, okay, well, we'll see you later. All right. And I'd come back the next day. And then one day, it just hit me. It was like, I don't like this. I don't like who I've become. And it was way worse than just that. I was devastated. I was not happy. And so I went over town, and I heard there was this group that you could go in and you'd get sober there. And so I always would try to go, but I'd always miss it because I was a wreck. And so finally one day I made it. And I got there just in time for this, and I say this graciously, there was a crusty old man outside with his legs crossed, benched over, and I came walking in. He said, well, you better get in there, honey, and get your court card signed. And I'm like, court card? Now I need a court card? I thought I just need to get here, you know? And come to find out, you didn't need a court card. That's just what I thought. But anyway, so I walked through those two doors. And before I walked through those two doors, he goes, where are you coming from? And I said, Catalina Island. And he put his cigarette down. And he goes, you're going to make it. And I walked through those doors, and that was the beginning of my new life. And as I walked through the doors, they were all just standing up. And I'm like, uh-oh, big group of people. So I just kind of went next to them, and they grabbed my hand. I was like, what? What's going on here? And they began to say the Our Father. And at that point right there, that was my reckoning point to say, who will I serve? And it was, I mean, it was like, wait a second. I don't know. And then it was like, I don't want anything in my past. I need God back. And I said the Our Father with everybody. And I left that day different. I left different. I was still very confused because I couldn't really figure out what I was supposed to do next. So I just kept hanging around and listening to people who were sober. And most of all, I started really getting involved with God again. Because my shame that I had, my shame took me out. Because I was a terrible person, obviously. I knew God and I left him. You know, I didn't have that understanding, that deep understanding that no matter where we go, God is there with us. And so at that point, I began to walk in my sobriety. And because of my drug of choice at that time, not before, was methamphetamine. That's where it had brought me. And it was tough. It was tough. I was a wreck. My insides were wrecked. My teeth were wrecked. I was a wreck. And so I just started to, you know, really start praying and asking God and playing my auto harp. And it was really hard because I lived in a place where the people above me were like my best friends. And they also were still using. So I would be sitting there and I'd be sitting there lonely because I had nobody else around, you know, except for a few people. And I was, of course, in my head just going insane because I didn't know what to do with my life right then except pray and stay. And so I would see them go by my little sliding glass door and they'd be ha, 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 laughing. And I'm like, they can't be having fun. I know they feel like I do, you know. And they go up right past my door, and then they'd go into the house, and then the meth would come through the ducts, the heater thing, and I could smell it. And I would just sit there and just shake, like, I don't want to do this. I want to be different. God help me. You know, I was crying out, please, God help me. I don't ever want to be like this again. And I was a mess, a serious mess. And it was at that point right there that God spoke to me again after all of these years. And he gave me a song. I was going to try to sing that. I don't know if I can, but But literally, it was get your Bible. And I had this micro Bible. I used to call it my sneaky Bible that I could like whip out and share the scriptures with somebody. And so I opened that up, and the first scripture that I read, I just heard this song in my head, and I began to sing it. And that night, I stayed in my house. I shook. I was terribly lonely and afraid, but I stayed. I didn't go out my door. And that was the beginning, March 3rd, of 04. So that part of my life began. And pretty much, you know, the way that how it was then was everything that I did, I just believed that God would lead me. And so, of course, once again, I was in that hard fellowship with God. And that relationship was growing and growing again. And I just asked him, I said, you know, God, I don't believe like you did this to me, because sometimes we get weird in our heads thinking, oh, what has God done? He's left me, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I said, I don't believe that you had a part of this at all. I mean, this was all me, but what am I supposed to do with this? And he told me that I would share my life with others. And 2 years later, actually a year and a half then, and I continued to see that psychiatrist, and she asked me how I was going to stay sober. I said, I don't know, but I'm going to do it. And she goes, are you sure you're going to be okay? I'm like, shoot, yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm good. The next day, I quit my job. I started hiding in my house. I was devastated, and she's remained with me and still does to this day. And so a year and a half after that, a position came open here in town, and it was for Choices. And everybody's like, you should go do that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Still weird, you know. And so there's this woman from Minnesota that came down, and there were people that they interviewed, people with masters. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm nothing. I shouldn't be here. And they picked me. You know, and I really, I mean, I was like, what do I do, you know, and why did you pick me? There's somebody way better than me, you know. And I'll never forget what the woman told me. She said, Rhonda, you are the person that's supposed to change some things here. And you know, I just believed what she was saying, because I know what God had spoke to me. And I stood. And from that point on, about 6 months later, that's when I started trying to figure out how can we help this community, and what was my point, or what was my part in Choices, and how can we do that. And ended up bringing resources over here for people who were in need and creating an early intervention program. And then I went and took it to the young people and began to work in the schools and everything like that. But I know that, how was I before? I was confused. That's, you know, I had a bad message when I was brought up. And how I am today is I'm not confused. And I know one thing is that, you know, when God says he'll never leave you or forsake you, which I'm sure we've shared with everybody, oh, he'll never leave you. But, you know, it's like, the empathy that I have for people now and their struggles, I don't care where they've been in, I get it. I get it a lot. And if, you know, if one thing can be taken out of the journey, to have empathy and compassion for those in need, that's what I have today, you know. And I have my sobriety, and I have truth in my heart, you know, that I know for a fact that, you know, addiction is not just something you get over. I mean, you can, and a lot of people do. You know, they get saved, and maybe they never use again. But most people, that's not their story. And for those people, they feel so much shame that it's hard to get back into life. And so that's my story as far as getting back into life and taking the things that the enemy planted for bad and use them to do good. And so that's what I try to do today. That's how my life has totally changed. And I continue to ask God, what do you want me to do right now? What is my purpose right now in this moment? And, you know, how should I walk it? And so that's what I do in my life today. And, yeah, I'll sing you my song. And I'll close with that. And I just hope, and I know that we do in this room. I know that we have that compassion in our hearts and minds to be able to look at the difficulties that we were walking through and have compassion on that. And to be able to walk with and to support. So, you know, that's what we need to do because there are so many people, as we well know. You know, we have an addicted society that is coming up. And we need to be here to strengthen and to stand and to be able to say that we don't have to. I just came back from Washington, and every place I went, they said, on my 60th birthday, they lined up shots of tequila. You know, and they're like, yay! And I'm like, no, no. And they're like, why? And I said, because I just don't want to. It's not because I can't. It's not because, you know, I don't want to. It's not my priority. And so more for them. And you know, and every person that we went with was smoking weed. We were in Washington. And, hey, do you smoke? No, I don't smoke. And they're like, oh. And then their whole family would smoke. And that's scary to me. That's scary to see what's happening. But, you know, we are able to be here and to have wisdom and knowledge to be able to wait around until people get to the place where they can be. And sometimes that looks pretty bad, you know. It looks real bad. So anyway, I'll sing my song. I'm not a singer. But this is a song that definitely, it was like the stake in my heart that held me down. And so I'm thankful for that.
Tremble and do not sin, my child. Meditate in your heart and be still upon your bed. Offer up to God the sacrifice of praise and trust in the Lord your God. Meditate in your heart, my child. Be still within your mind and trust in the Lord your God. Offer up to God. Offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, and He will direct your path. Be still and know I am God. Be still.
Thanks for letting me share.